pray that God will bring the right to us, so that we will continue in the presence of the Lord. So this evening, we are going to listen to the word of God again. Please God, everything, everything, receive a portion. This is there was a man surely by prayer, no, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. This is the word that we have received this evening. It will be our soul. It is the food for our soul and spirit.
Amen.
The Lord bless you as we put our hands together to welcome our brother.
Thank you very much, my brothers and sisters. If you open, please, into the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. I want to thank you again, Chairman, for hosting me here and the opportunity to bring the gospel. And the message I have prepared to preach this evening is not a message I planned to preach or wanted to preach, but as I'm going through the Word of God, it's the message that leaped out unto me. We'll start our reading in 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 6. Let's start our reading in verse number 3. And he says that we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. He says we're going through things right along with you as the proof of our ministry. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Some of these fastings were forced upon him because he had no food. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, that might be the demonstration of his miracle, working power. By sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, imputed righteousness and the righteousness of God. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, he worked true miracles, had true power. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened, even the great apostle, as chastened and yet not killed. Verse 10 says, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor, that's what he was, but making many rich, as having nothing, that was his reality in this world, and yet possessing all things, that was his reality too. He says in verse 11, O Corinthians, we have opened our mouth unto you. We've spoken openly unto you. He is speaking unto us now in Maduguri. Our heart is wide open, Paul says. You are not restricted by us. Our heart is not closed off But you're restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. You open your heart also unto the message and unto these messengers of Scripture. Verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's not just talking about marriage. For what fellowship, as to what agreement has righteousness with lawlessness? He's talking about giving up a life of sin. And what communion has light, which means you are by profession of faith and by reality, if that faith is real, with darkness? And what accord, what agreement has Christ with the fool, with Eliab? Or what part has a believer, a true believer, with an unbeliever? As to why on earth would you and I act like them? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. He's talking about people. And walk among them, and I will be their God. He's not talking about a building made with hands. And they shall be my people. So whether we're meeting under a tree or in a grand cathedral, it does not matter. Therefore, here's our message for tonight. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Be totally different. Do not touch what is unclean, principally false religion, and I will receive. And as I was saying earlier, I did not plan to bring this message. I wanted to bring something else more encouraging. I wanted to take my foot off the pedal, off the gas. I feel like it was floored last night, and it's not in my personality to be overbearing in the pulpit. But I'm convinced that this is not overbearing because it is the Word of God. And I believe that it speaks unto us right now to make a clean break with false religion. I think that we are being taught by God, and that some of us might be on the fence, in the threshing floor, at the place of judgment, and a decision is going to have to be made. Am I going to go this way, or am I going to go that way? Am I going to live my life for Christ all out according unto the Bible, or am I going to go back unto the ways of this world and the ways of my flesh? In the book of Joel, in chapter number 1, verse 12, as I believe that the Almighty God, is He gives us something as to when He is calling us to come out and to make a clean break with this world and to come all of the way out unto and for of the gospel. I'm talking about making no compromises. Being fierce for the cause of Christ. I like our hymns. You can tell I even know them by heart. And you don't have to sing hymns. But you have to sing songs that give God glory. If we can't just sing of the same chorus that says nothing about the glory of God over and over just because it makes the people happy. That's unhappy religion, isn't it? Because our joy in God gets taken away. And so one of the things that He gives us, our God gives us, and to call us out from this world, just as He called the people out of the mystery of Babylon, is He gave us enough pressure and enough trouble and enough trials until we want to repent. He disturbs our heart. He disturbs us. It's on the inside. And since the ministry of the gospel is at work upon the conscience, it is calling people who are on the fence and saying, you're not happy for a reason for real. I'm not talking about the fake happiness that's in church. I'm talking about the deep, deep satisfaction of soul. I'm talking about hearing and being able to hear the word of God and to know that you have repented. It's not something that's hanging over my head as I ought to do. I'm all out for the glory of the blessed Jesus. And this is a gift of God to trouble us and bring us into repentance. He says in the book of Joel 1, verse number 12, if the vine has dried up, false religion has proved unprofitable. It's proved itself a liar. It's the IDP camp in the Benue. As I went there and I preached at three different camps, it's the first one, it was a practical message, but not really a message from God. It's the next one, I was trying to be nice unto the people that I ministered. Absolutely no comfort. And then the third one, I told them that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I went into that meeting convinced that the Almighty God, instead of the false promises of you're going to get your land back, I have no idea as to when these people here are going to get their land back, and neither does anybody else who's claiming to be a prophet or a preacher. And I'm asking you the question, aren't you tired of preachers making promises about God that do not come to pass? I'm tired of it. I'm weary and I'm angry. How about you? I'm tired. It's a woe unto my soul. I cannot stand a man who lies on God and tells people that they're going to get something that they're never going to get because it hasn't been promised by God in the Bible. And so He makes a promise unto 100 people, and then this one person that was going to get money anyway. This one person who got healing but also went to see the doctor is finally brought up into the front and paraded about as proof of this preacher's power, and he's just a liar, and he deceives you and promises you things that do not happen, and aren't you tired? It's been 12 years of the Boko Haram in this vicinity, right?
Yes.
How many preachers have told you, I declare them gone? I decree them out of existence. I declare that they will be here no more. And their declarations mean nothing. It's a weariness of false religion. And the word of God, it gets unto work on a conscience. Because a man can smile and act all bold, but God's words get to penetrate in his heart. And that thing that he used to do in his false religion that made him so happy, when the truth comes, now in the deep part, in the recesses of his conscience, his mind, he knows it disturbs him because it's not true. It's the ba-ba-ba religion. I wish we could speak in tongues. I wish I could speak in Hausa. I wouldn't need a translator.
We understood, sir.
Well, if I could speak in tongues, I wouldn't need a translator. You'd understand me just fine. Yes. There is something about a preacher who knows the language that is able to communicate in a way I cannot. I only know English. But if I could get some tea in me real quick, and all of a sudden I could speak in their language, I'd be so much more profitable in Benue. But the ba-ba-ba that we've been putting our confidence in has not brought peace in our heart from God. Not when we're confronted with the truth. It disturbs it, sir. It takes it away and it leaves you now. What are you going to do with it? And the disturbance is for our good. It's for our benefit. In order to bring us out of our bondage. And our false religion. And to make us take this unclean thing no more. Come all the way out and be separate. Ah, the land mourns. It's the grain is ruined. How many false promises of riches? Oh, you're going to be so wealthy. It's your portion. Yes, I know the NGOs have come. And they're spreading money like dollars, et cetera, et cetera. You get a little bit of that. I have an NGO. We hope to help some people in Nigeria. We really do. It's not a handout. It'll be some hard work and you'll get paid for it. But how many people have been promising you big dollars like they make in America? What's happening?
Nothing this time.
How many years have you been listening to it? And been deceived? And so your soul is secretly unhappy and you're scared to tell anybody else, as you might think I look like I'm a believer and I have no faith. But no, you really do have faith if you call these men a liar. Because you're standing on the word of God. And his promises are spiritual. His kingdom is not of this world, and all of his promises are true, but they're all for the joy inside the soul. They're in the spiritual man. They're not in the exterior. Anything that the devil can give is not the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
It's not the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and all the money in the world. Ask Bill Gates and Dangote. They're not in the kingdom of God.
Most of the rich people in this world, in Nigeria, in USA, are not in the kingdom of God. What happened unto all these prophets of money? They lied to you. And now you're tired of it. And that's why so many millions of Christians in Nigeria are unhappy. On the inside. And it's the same problem back in the USA. We are an unhappy, dissatisfied group of people with everything in the world a man could want. No satisfaction, no salvation. Oh, my soul. Ah, the new wine is dried up and the oil fails. All of a religion that's false is utterly useless. It can't keep the Almighty God off the conscience. If you read in your own time in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 11. His true preachers, his true church has the power to smite the earth as often as we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the power to call down plagues from heaven, and the power unto turn on the water into blood.
Mm.
What does that mean? I can disturb the conscience when I'm preaching the word of God. And even though the man may hate me, he has to know it's real. Paul said that we are manifest into your conscience. So I'm really dealing with you, Paul says, and the scripture says, in the thoughts and in the intents of your heart. It's the word of God is like a sword of a surgeon that cuts and penetrates and separates and gets inside of the conscience and says, this is not right. This is not what the Bible says. This is good. This is bad. This is not wrong. This is wrong. And it separates and divides you. But the plague in the conscience, sir, and the lack of sincere joy and peace, the quietness under your mind, that you should be saying, hallelujah, but on the inside you're saying, oh, ouch, oh my. That's the benefit of the eternal Almighty God who loved you enough to disturb you and to call you out. And I want for you, my brothers and my sisters, to be broken off of false religion and come all of the way out. Oh, I don't want you going, it's only halfway. Because I remember Herod, he heard John the Baptist. He heard him gladly. But he left him in prison. And when his daughter-in-law from an illicit marriage began to dance in front of him and perhaps on him, you talk about a lap dance from hell. He gave up the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And sir, I remember Felix, Acts 24. He heard the Apostle Paul gladly. And he trembled, the scripture says. And then you know what he said? Is I'll hear you later on this. He cut off the conviction on his conscience. And then all he ever did from that point forward, each and every time he brought in Paul to hear Paul preach, it was because Paul was preaching. He was preaching righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. But all this man was hearing is there a way for Paul to give me money? Oh, can you believe that? That's all that he was interested in when the great apostle Paul was preaching. It was money. And I go places and I really try to get it out of people's mind. And I'm here to just give them money and to bring them money and to really hear this here word of God. But to reject God's gospel, then you're at the door. At the doorstep, and you know it's true. And you're wavering in between here and there. Is I believe, my friends, it's a merciful word from God to say, come all the way out. And stick the neck out. Let's go back into 2 Corinthians 6. And let's pick up at point number 2. And I still want to look again at verse number 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch, do not mingle with anything that's unclean. And look what's going to happen. I will receive. This is the benefit of the grace of God. If we come out unto our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be so much better. It's our fear as we have to let go of the things of this world. It could be the ba ba ba. It could be sin of any kind, and we have to let go of it. And our fear is that I'm not going to be happy over there because this is all I've got. But no, it's not. He said that he will receive. I will receive. It's going to be so much better. And the Apostle Paul, he kind of talks about this in chapter number 6. And I want to emphasize in verse number 10. This is what he says. And I want you to stick with me here. Let's stick with the word. Look what Paul says about himself. Now, he's got all kinds of pressures. He has the pressure to living up to being an apostle. He has the pressure of living a holy life that's an example and that is blameless. He has the pressure of the ministry, of being persecuted everywhere he goes, of being in danger, of being often in debts, of being backstabbed, of being betrayed by false brethren. He has the pressure of having to lay the order of the church. If you read in these epistles, the Apostle Paul was the strictest preacher who made
of the lines crystal clear. He is the one, not Peter or James or John, who tells our women not to usurp authority or to teach them. That's a hard word. And I believe if Paul was preaching in this day, men would scratch his eyes out and try to kill him still. Because he had so much power and he drew a line that was so strict. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach. I don't allow it. Oh, Paul, you sexist. No, I speak for God. I'm talking about all of the way out. I'm really talking about it costing us everything and then us getting so much more. Because that's how it works. That's always how it works. If your church is only concerned about the glory of God, you're going to lose a lot of people who are only concerned in the glory of themselves. But one thing is going to happen. God is going to be there. What a trade. It's a trade of fickle man. It's the same people who praised Paul in Acts chapter 14. In the next verse, they picked up stones and stoned him until they thought he was dead. But God is not going to do you like that. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. He's going to be a father unto you. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, I got a lot of woes, he says. I have a lot of things I have to go through. I got a hard life. And these songs about it's all joy all the time. It's just lying. It's not all joy all the time. And the purpose of every church service is not to leave happy. It's going to be some times I have to leave the preaching of the gospel or the hearing of the gospel cut in pieces. And it's going to take some time to get the healing on my knees because I still have to repent. Paul's saying, I'm in dangerous situations. I'm in trouble half the time and then some. Yet always rejoicing. He's saying, there's absolutely nothing that can stop me because I have the eternal and almighty God on my side. And it does not matter what man can do unto me because he can never forsake me or leave me. And in his love, I am bound. And I will stay there forever. And nothing can stop the advance of the kingdom of Christ. It's an unstoppable kingdom. It's a stone that comes down off of the mountain that's been cut without hands. And it comes tumbling down and destroys all the kingdoms of this world. It's the almighty power of God that's in the gospel. It is God himself. He's giving more comfort than there is pain. And you see in the gospel, it says this, that where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. Right? Any place that there's sin and pain and consequences, there's more grace from God. That's the gospel. I'm sorrowful, but I'm always happy. Always rejoicing. Always filled with joy. Each and every day I get more joy from our Lord Jesus Christ because I'm doing the truth and I'm doing his will. As poor Paul says,
yet making many rich. Ah, the grand apostle. Just like me and you, brethren, but even more so. He had absolutely nothing in this world. If the Lord Jesus said, and the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, they have nests, but the Son of Man hath not even where unto lay his head. He didn't own any property.
It's not important.
And Paul didn't own any property either. It's a man today at the IDP camp, the ex-chairman of CAN. Is he got the money from CAN unto buy property or the refugees? That's gospel business. Paul is not one of those preachers that takes all of the money to buy something for himself. It's a man in Nigeria said, I know that I'm sent by God because I'm rich. Is that right? A rich preacher, when the people he's preaching to and taking money from are poor. That sounds like a curse unto me. The Apostle Paul was not saying you have to fund my lifestyle if you want a breakthrough. If you really want to get unto God, then you got to make me rich. That's not what he's saying. What Paul is saying is, hey y'all, I'm poor, but I'm making other people rich, and he ain't talking about money. There is no evidence in the New Testament of even one person who got rich. It's some people who are rich, but there was no evidence that they got rich after they heard the gospel, or even less, after they sowed some seed unto somebody. But when Paul is talking about making many rich, he's talking about everlasting life and the free grace of God and the gospel knowledge that gets you into contact with Jesus Christ and gets your sins forgiven for real. He's talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are entirely spiritual. Which kingdom are you of? I'm in the kingdom that is full of rich people. And it's every believer. Is as rich with the heavenly blessings as they could possibly be, because they're all in Christ Jesus, and all we need to do is enter in unto them more and more by faith. That's the true gospel. If Paul was preaching a kingdom of this world, they would not have killed him. As having nothing. Now the Apostle Paul, with all of his miracle working power, he never charged anybody for anything. Oh, I want you to think now. Is there any evidence of any man of God in the Bible ever asking anybody for any money in order to do them a miracle?
No, sir.
And yet we are impoverished because we're giving all of our money unto the false prophet in order to get something in this world, some type of a magical healing that he can't even give unto himself. He flies into London to see the doctor. Every one of them. If they can afford it, They're on their private jet in the UK. Or the Johns Hopkins back home in the US. They're liars. And we need to stop supporting them and facilitating them and favoring them and hearing them and appeasing them and paying them and praying for and actually paying them and come all of the way out from them into the true gospel of God. All of the way out. Come on out. He'll receive you. He won't let you go. He won't let you dangle. He won't forsake you. He'll make every promise in this book real in your soul. And you'll experience it all. He will not lie to you. His comfort is real. His power over sin is real. His joy is real. A clean conscience is real. It's real. It's all real. There's nothing fake in God. No false promises at all. None. It all comes up to pass as having nothing. And we know what Paul means by taking a look at his life. He had nothing in prison. Oh, Timothy, when you come, would you please bring my blanket? And some books. I got nothing in this world but a cold cell floor. It's almost winter. Bring me a blanket, lest I freeze unto death in here in Rome. Yet, here's the power of God, yet possessing all things. Have you ever seen Paul complain in the New Testament even one time? Woo-wee! That's because our Lord Jesus Christ was on the inside. And Paul was not just acting like, it's the way I get. If I'm upset, I get quiet. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to make it work. But Paul was in prison preaching the gospel with his pen, comforting other people. And he told them in Ephesus, I'm all right. I'm going to send you Tychius just so you know how I'm doing. I'm rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Have you read Ephesians? Yeah. Election, predestination, adoption, redemption. All things working to teach me the gospel and save my soul. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. He's unlocking mysteries of the gospel of Christ. He's satisfied from the inside, and he's writing them for their comfort and for your betterment. What a man. And we can all be like that through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This mouth, it can never murmur again if I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ in every circumstance. Oh, the complaining bugs go. Oh, the bitterness, he can take it away. Oh, the envy and the pride of the jealousy at somebody else making it. Well, I've got the God of heaven. I think I'm all right. Don't have to envy any man. No preacher's power. I can seek God myself. And whatever he does is best, even if he gives it unto somebody else, because I'm satisfied I've got him. Possessing everything. That's what we got. That's the true gospel.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and if the people in Nigeria... is my sister's obviously a Nigerian. And so I'm going to let her say this. I'm just going to, you know, from here to here to here. But as what she said was, if Nigeria could ever get rid of the love of money. And I wasn't even preaching on the love of money, but that's what she heard as God began to deal with her own heart. If that thing would ever get eradicated and just die, this Nigeria, I'm telling you, it could be the greatest country on earth for the preaching of the gospel. Because you have religious freedom I don't have in the USA. I can't stand on just any street corner. I have to pick my corners carefully, or the police will take me away. I can't get access in the churches here the same way as it's blocked off in the USA. This isn't, you got so much. You're so rich. I'm telling you the truth. You got so much talent. I hear preachers, and African preachers can preach the gospel if they know it. They are expressive, intelligent, articulate people. But we've got to tell the truth on God. We've got to come all of the way out. No halfway doing this thing, or he'll forsake us. When we come out, he'll receive us. And take us into his bosom. And love us, and bless us, and give us something good. I'm telling the truth, right? I'm telling the truth. And point number three is my last point. I appreciate your patience. As you guys here, you give an excellent, excellent hearing. And you encourage me. I'm thinking that something special is happening here.
Yes, sir.
Even with this few people, if you take it and run, it'll change your city. It'll make the other churches pay attention if you spread it about. And stop just evangelizing Muslims and start evangelizing
the
other Christians in the churches.
Yes.
That's where the gospel needs to go first. Into the church house. And when these preachers start preaching it, and these pastors start dying for it, and I don't mean to die physically, I mean until they lay your life down in the pulpit by telling the whole truth.
Yes, sir.
With no fear of man. With no favor of man being coveted. But with something to give. The third point is brief. It's verse number 18. It's a little bit more of the blessedness of his reception. I will be a father unto you. That's a good word. I don't know much about being a father. I have no children. And I have no relationship with my earthly father. I don't even know as to who he is. If the man was right here, if he doesn't look exactly like me, I couldn't even recognize him. But God says, I'll be a father unto you. And I've had some stepfathers, and it ain't been a good relationship. But this father, he's talking about comfort. He's talking about provision. He's talking about being there for you. He's talking about me and you having nothing to fear at all. But to have Almighty God, who is our Father. I don't have to fear him. He loves me. I don't have to care for myself. He provides for me and you. Free of charge through the precious blood of Christ. And I think, my sister, if we sing some more good songs, hymns are good, but I'd love to see you sing songs and and you use the drum and the bass guitar, you have your own voice, you have your own style. You don't have to act like a European in order to worship God. You can have your own style, your own flavor. I love the drum. Woo-hoo. It helps me. It's in my bones. I haven't even been here for 400 years, but it's still in my bones. Make it worship God with the lyrics that honor the gospel and see Him come down here and worship. It won't be all fleshly excitement. It'll be something that you can sing in the depths of despair and to bring your heart up towards Christ Jesus. It won't just be talking about money. It'll be the spiritual blessing of unsearchable riches. I'll be a father for you. And you shall be my sons. That means I'll forgive you. It means I'll chastise you with love, and I'll never take away my love. Even when I spank you, I'll correct you in measure and in kindness. And it'll be loving kindness that smoked you and me. His daughters, with love and with purity, with your best interest in mind at all times. There's no selfishness in Him toward you. It's all giving. It's all for your benefit and your benefit and my benefit is a life lived for His glory. Says of the Lord Almighty, and the one with all the power that's in His hands, I'll receive you. Look who is going to take you up into His hands. Look who will carry you home to glory. Look who will kiss you when you come back home in repentance. He'll come running after you. Draw near to God and He will draw near unto you. And be a father. Not just a God, a father. Pity you. Compassion and care. He will love you. Oh, you will get so much. And I am wrapping up. But I used to think, if I really preach all that, and I really live like that, it's going to cost me too much. That was just the devil in my ear. And when I began to risk it all, I found my Father.
Hallelujah.
Right there, ready to help me and strengthen me. And you will be the happiest you've ever known. It will be on the inside. And can't nobody disturb it. If you get married or if you don't. If she break up with you or if she don't. It don't matter. You've got God sitting on the throne inside your heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's real. And it don't need no money. It's free. He provides our money. I don't have to buy Him off and pay anything. He paid the price. His only begotten Son. But in conclusion, if you look at chapter 7, verse number 1, it's because it's all part of the same exhortation. This is what a life lived all out for the glory of the blessed God actually looks like. This is what it means unto actually come out from among them and be separate. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Therefore, is having these promises. And that's all it is, promises from God that's mixed in with instruction and commandment. Beloved, oh beloved of God and Paul and all the preachers, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us do it. Let us cleanse ourselves from all, let's emphasize that word, all
is you can't deal with one sin lightly and expect to overcome all these other sins. It don't work that way. You got to deal with all of it. That one sin, it can keep you from God. So get down on your knees with God and be cleansed from this filthiness too, and He'll give you the boldness and the confidence to deal with everything else. That sin of pornography, of the young men and the women, of the older men too, it can disturb our relationship with God until we have no access unto Him in our conscience, and we are ashamed to even talk about Him. And the whole life is on the downside. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. If it's religious, if it's moral, if it's my doctrine, if it's my life, if it's my secret parts. And this is not a miserable religion. Because if you come out, He'll receive you. If you confess your sins, He'll forgive you.
Yes.
If you trust in the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep your sins down. He'll do it for you. And He wouldn't say, come all the way out from all filthiness if He wasn't going to give you the power. I'm a mortal man just like you, but this promise is true and real. This power is real. This confidence in God is real. It to be able and to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, continually perfecting holiness in what? In the fear of God. That's where it all starts from. Is I fear God. And I want to change my behavior to please Him. I want to do what's right by this book. Oh God, help me. And He will do that for you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will receive you.
Amen.
He will help you.
Yes, sir.
He will love you. And your life will be so happy. Peace and joy that no man can take away from you.
Yes, sir.
No circumstance and no trial. Because you got God as your Father. And He's received you. And He's welcomed your heart. Oh, why don't you go all the way out to Him? Let's go. All the way out. He'll receive you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.